Hello and welcome back to the Heartstrong Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we want to talk about striving or trying too hard, depending on how you phrase it. And Sarah and I were discussing this before in the sense of we've both sort of had little wake-up calls recently in terms of what we're doing with our time and what, you know, that ultimately is what you're doing with your life. And this idea that the message that I was given was stop trying so hard and stop punishing yourself for not getting everything done on the to-do list every day and then thinking that you have to work harder and faster and more because the universe is not going to reward you for punishing yourself.
Yeah, that's a good statement. It's like we are quite mean to ourselves and hard on ourselves, I think.
Mm.
Especially when you are self-employed and everything you do is self-driven, which is the case for both of us.
Yeah.
There's no one else driving us or keeping us accountable. And I think that's the same for a lot of people.
Especially with working from home. Even you might have a boss, but you're working from home. Suddenly a lot more of your work is self-driven.
Mm. And it gets quite tiring. I got the same message. It's funny because as we were talking and reflecting this morning, I recently got the same message. To stop striving and trying so hard. It's like, when is it enough? And there's a lot in that sense of enoughness.
Mm.
And taking a step back, and I think sometimes we get so caught up in the doing of what we're trying to achieve. It's almost like we lose sight of the big picture. We get on this busyness sort of roll and before we know it, we're getting exhausted and not really getting any closer to what that original vision was because we've lost sight of it.
Mm. And I think the thing that we lose the most is the enjoyment or the fun.
Mm.
And everything becomes a task on the to-do list, even things like, you know, so I sort of have exercise on my list and part of what's sort of pulled me up is an injury that is in part due to some of the exercise I've been doing lately. And when I was reflecting on it, theoretically nothing should, like, you know, I'm not going crazy overboard, but it was a chore. I wasn't doing it because I was enjoying my body movement or its abilities or anything like that. I was doing it because, well, I've got to tick this off the list, you know.
Mm.
And yoga becomes the same. It becomes an item on the to-do list that you start feeling guilty for not having done, but when you go and do it, you're doing it to tick it off the list or because you should or not because you're really present and enjoying that moment. And I think we do that with a lot of things in work and general life.
I think
so.
So
even hobbies,
even hobbies. So I think it is, you know, we've just had this discussion about how to deal with this. And from my perspective, if I'm going to go away and make a list of all the things that I need to do to keep my business running in a week and have a look at what that list looks like and how I'm dealing with it and what's getting done and what isn't getting done and then try and distribute that throughout my week so that I'm sort of accountable to the tasks that need doing. But what I know I'm going to discover is missing is that I'm not putting myself first. And I was told many years ago, it's like, and this is, I think it's a quote by Michael Beckwith too, where he says, you've got to put the spiritual first, deal with that spiritual aspect of yourself first, tend to that first, and the rest of your day will flow.
Mm.
And it's like just take time to meet and greet yourself in the morning and whether it's meditation, whether it's just gazing out at nature and absorbing and taking time to feel into the day, it's that's important before you step out into ticking off the things that you think you need to do on the striving.
I think also bringing that feeling into what you're doing too, though. Like don't just make it another task on your list, oh, I get up in the morning and meditate. No, it's like maybe. But then also when you're doing anything, like why are you doing it? Where is the where is the enjoyment in it for you? Mm. And it's not that everything that you do is going to be all fun and skipping through the daisies, but it's that you sort of get blinkered on the treadmill, you know, and everything becomes a chore. And if you haven't sort of got that sense of, so I've written down on my list like exercise, and then I've got underneath it in little stars on either side, fun, and it's got to be do something. You know, every day, ideally, because exercise is something that you should be doing every day. And I've got in brackets, like it says do something, and it's got a list of sort of things that I like to do for exercise. So I'm not going to make myself do stuff that I don't enjoy, assuming that I've got things, you know, you can't sort of go, well, I hate all exercise. I'm not going to do any. I mean, maybe you can do that if that feels right for you. But the bottom line is I like moving my body. I like exercising. I love dancing. I love going for walks. I enjoy doing some body work, that sort of stuff. So, but the thing is I've got in brackets that feels good. And I think you've got to do that with all of your work. Like, so if you're, you know, if you're working for yourself and you've got to do some marketing, find a way to make it give you something that feels good. So it's not just a grind that is wearing you down, and you can come to it with an element of play.
And it's addressing that. So really then it's coming back to address, you know, that sense of creativity that sort of often has a sense of aliveness in it, whatever that means for you. For some people it might be literally art, drawing, painting, sketching, or for other people it might be doing some other thing. It might be sewing, might be knitting, might be, you know, it could be anything. But it's like, where do you fit in the creativity? Because that's just as an important aspect of all the rest. And I think if you take care of and nourish those aspects of ourselves, often what happens is those other tasks that seem, you know, unachievable and were mounting up to be monumental suddenly drop away, and you find that you get them done in an easeful way and wonder what all the fuss was about, because you've sort of flipped the focus. So flipping the focus on, okay, do something creative in whatever way that is for you, and then see where that leaves you.
And you'll probably find that if, say, one of your tasks in your business, if you're running your own business, is to send your messages or your newsletters out to your clients, that having that creative sort of activity first will give you the inspiration you need to make the rest of the day easier, rather than only treating your creative or outlet or your hobby or your fun thing as a treat. Oh, that's something I get to do after I've ticked off my list, which if you work for yourself, you know you never do. The list will never be complete. So you never reward yourself. So then it becomes a cycle of, you know, put the play first. You've really got to make sure you are filling that well. And it doesn't, I come from a creative industries position. So for me, that's really important. But I think it applies to everything. You know, I used to have the same struggle when I was working for myself as an event manager. It was, you know, you just sort of get caught in this endless to-do list, and you never feel like it's fulfilling, or that you lose sight of why you're doing it, and then you get to the point where you're just like, oh, I'm just going to quit and get a job because this is too hard, and it's because you're not really filling that creative well that we all have.
We all do have it,
and you might fill yours by walking along the beach, but you know, make sure you figure out what it is and go and do it and enjoy it. Life is meant to be enjoyed. That was the other message, was that, you know, we sit at this, if you think of it from a yoga perspective, if you're trying to do, say, the flowing tree, but you've got all your muscles clenched so tight, you're not going to be able to move muscle, are you? You know, and so I feel like so often in our work and in our professions and just in sort of life in general, we get so busy that we tighten up, and then you're suddenly having to force everything and nothing flows.
And yeah, and I suppose what came to mind when you're talking about that, when, you know, we tighten up, there's no space. Everything's so tight that there's no space and there's no flow and there's no movement. Everything's rigid. So it's like, how can you loosen up? What do you need to do to loosen up? So one thing that Kelly and I have done this year that I don't know if we've shared before is that we have put aside one Monday a month where we meet in a mutual place. That's an art space, and we have half a day of art, and we can do whatever project we're working on, and sometimes we do a shared workshop, you know, online workshop together, and we play with colour, and it's just got many nice aspects in one, that we're actually physically together, and two, that we're playing with colour and doing something that Kelly's much better at doing than me, but I don't make time for. I don't make time for, because it's, to me, it's like a luxury, and I'm not an artist, and why would I do that?
And on the other side, I am a professional artist, and so, you know, I spend a lot of the time lamenting the fact that I'm not doing more productive work, you know, and not making time to actually just enjoy the art for the art's sake. So it cuts both ways, that blade of why are you doing something? And if it's because it's part of your work and your purpose, like your sort of professional purpose, then it's never enough. And if it's part of your hobby, well, you're never enough, you know.
Mm.
It's but it's really nice. Neither of those approaches are true.
No. And so what we've, in our conversation before we came onto air to talk about this today, and that just sprang out of nowhere, really. It wasn't a planned discussion. We decided that what would it look like if we make every Monday, not that we'll get together every Monday, but every Monday we start the week with some creativity. So instead of just doing it once a month, we actually start the week and make a point of starting in that creative, playful space. And we're going to do it as a bit of an experiment and then see how the week unfolds. So instead of putting, you know, once a month aside, we're going to actually put a little bit more time aside and just see whether that opens up space, because I have a feeling that if we put those things first, then we're going to create more space, and those tasks that get tight and constricted by the end of the week will probably just get done effortlessly in the course of our day.
It's certainly not getting done with as it is. So, and I think, you know, we get so caught up on, oh, I can't stop. And this especially, I've been having this conversation with another colleague who works in sort of writing and website development, and this idea that the to-do list mounts up and you get more and more stressed, and it gets harder and harder to let it go. But really what you need to do is drop the entire thing for at least a day and go, right, I'm not doing anything today, because if I burn out, nothing will ever get done. You know, none of those tasks will get achieved if I have to stop work completely due to illness or burnout or mental strain or whatever. And those things are inevitable if you don't give your body the rest it needs. So it's so take a day and go, okay, you know, and communicate with your clients if that's who you're working with, or your family or whatever it is, and just say, look, I need to take this day for myself. Everything's going to be delayed by a day, a week, whatever it is. Everyone will understand. Like, whenever anyone in any community I'm in has come forward, as they're the creator of that community, and they've said, look, I'm really struggling with something, whether it's illness or family issues or work or, you know, mental illness or whatever it is, and they say, you know, deliver, like, things that I've promised you are not going to happen this week, everybody is understanding. No one ever goes, well, stuff you, I'm not paying you anymore. You know, and if they do, they weren't your client anyway. So,
no, exactly. So and that comes back to honest communication.
It is, yeah. So it's just be upfront and let's start talking about this stuff, and let's stop pretending that we're all super people who you know, can do everything with our eyes closed and and not ever check in with this stuff and go, share actually, you know, sometimes it gets hard. And that's the time when, rather than work harder, you need to work less.
And you
stop and you go, okay, I'm going to make a big list of all the things that I need to do. And surprisingly, that list will never be as long as you thought it was going to be. And suddenly you can see what's happening and you can see where your time goes. And I don't think we allow enough time for stuff. It's sort of like, why do you never make time for your yoga practice? It's because you think you're going to fit it in after work, but you don't consider how much time it takes to get home, unpack, get changed, see to the kids, feed the pets, go, you know, like the list, all those things that you think just happen. They all take time, and so you sort of have to make the time for that.
And they're part of this precious life, and it's like, you know, start to appreciate the moments and capture the goodness in the moments and those and take the richness of that into the rest of your day, because I think it gets lost in the tightness and constriction of the to-do lists. Get rid of those to-do lists.
Yes.
Chuck them out.
And so then where do you fit in your yoga practice if you've found that actually it's, you know, it's something that you're feeling guilty over but you don't have time for? And I suppose that's when you really stop and you go, okay, I'm going to take a day of not doing anything and figure out how I want this to look and how do I prioritize and how
what's
do I...
What's important to me?
You know, what's important to me? And does it have to be, you know, are you asking too much? Does it have to be that you do a whole hour session, or can it be that sometimes you know, if you're on Sarah's online studio, you do a 10-minute session because there are lots of those there for that purpose. And, you know, just making space for that might free up more space elsewhere. So,
yeah, there's take 10. And I'm even thinking now of doing take 10 and then a take 20 and then a take 30, because there's all those different sort of time frames that suit different times in your life. So
And sometimes
it's down.
Yeah, I think so. And sometimes it will just be, you know, unroll your mat and just stand on it and do what feels good. And it might not be yoga as in the traditional sense. You might not get the sequence right. You might not get the pose how you would have if you'd been guided by a teacher, but you'll be doing something that works for your body. That's important.
And that's a good segue to next week, something you just said. So I'm going to jump off, write that down, and next week come back with how to move.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.